Welcome back at WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We're positively getting out on the road. 30 crab cakes, 30 days. I plan to have some bonus crab cakes. Don Moeller knows all about that. Big appreciation to all of our sponsors and friends, including our friends at Royal Farms with the Chicken Palooza on the road, the Crab Cake Palooza. We are taking off. Before I take off, though, Coach Harbaugh and I have been ships in the night. Like, this plague thing has gotten in the way. I think the last time I saw him was like the day before the plague, and things were normal, and then things weren't normal. Then I grew hair, and then we chased each other through the season, in the off season. And before I get away and before you get to the field, I appreciate you taking some time and visiting with us. How are you, Coach?
I'm doing great. It's great to be with you guys again. I love you guys. You know, it has been a while. Matter of fact, you popped onto the screen here, and I'm like, who is this guy?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't look like the same guy anymore.
I knew you were take the shots at the hair. Go ahead, because you started
Please,
I started it yesterday. Actually, it looks pretty good. I saw Jen behind you when you first started. That's really why I have a relationship with you, because I love talking to your wife. She's amazing. She's awesome, and you did great. You know, I give you all the credit in the world. And but here you are. You look pretty good. You know, it's a different look. You got the cool guy glasses. You got the thing under your bottom lip there. I'm sure what they call that.
Springsteen thing, I think. I don't know.
Done everything I can to get rid of that little thing under the lip, as you call it.
He said, you can't run for mayor with that. And I said, Brandon Scott has one. What's wrong with you? You
know, I wouldn't have hired him in Baltimore County with that crazy look.
Coach,
I had to bring
an ensemble. And Luke is here. Don is here for all the listeners. I figured if I'm going to ask good questions, I have to ask good question askers here. So first things first, Don, you love this time of year because you miss Westminster. As county executive, you got to go out there and tiptoe around with the grandkids once in a while. But you liken this to like first day of school, right?
Well, I do. And I publicly want to thank the coach, and hopefully I'll get out there with the grandkids. Have been asking me every day, hey, Pop, we're going to camp again. We're going to camp again. I said, well, I hope we'll go to camp again. But Coach, you've always been incredibly gracious with my grandsons, and you've created a lifetime of memories for them. So I want to thank you for that. They love coming to camp.
That's awesome to hear. That's what it's all about.
For family,
you know, it's I like having kids around, man. Kids are
well. They love it, and it comes through. Coach, I said to Nestor off the air, I was trying to think as we got ready to come on with you this morning, going way back in the Wayback Machine when I was both a middle and a high school principal in a past life. Two of the greatest days of the year for me, I called them Christmas and New Year's all rolled into one, were the night before and the day that the teachers returned, and then the night before and the day the students actually returned and the show actually began. And I was trying to think, as a head coach, is it a bit like that? Are those 2 days like the day before camp begins and then the night before the season? Do you have those same kind of excited butterflies that I got as a principal, and do they still exist in you?
Yeah, it's pretty cool to hear you tell that story, because that's exactly what it is. We talk about it as coaches and players. When everybody, it's such a buzz, you know, when everybody comes back in the building and you see guys for the first time and guys are hugging and, hey, and what'd you do and where'd you go? And everybody, you know, someone's got some funny story about something that happened to them somewhere, and, you know, kind of just getting the band back together, kind of, so to speak. You know, you kind of get your crew back together, and that's it is. It's a great moment. I mean, you look forward to it. It is like Christmas.
Luke was a school teacher too. So I'm looking at Luke and I'm like, yeah, Luke, I sort of plucked you from education, didn't I? I think, didn't I?
Yeah, you did. And I'm always thinking there's that optimism, but there's also that disappointment that summer's over. And, you know, and for
too.
Players.
Well, you know what? That's a great point. Let's get into this, because coach is talking about it from the coach's perspective. I'm talking about it from the principal's perspective. For Luke, that night before he came back might not be as much of a Christmas Day feel as it is for the coach.
Well, and John, you can speak to this. And I mean, you played the game way back when. I played the game in high school. And, you know, if you're sitting here, you love football, of course. But yeah, there is that sense of, okay, I'm all in on this for the next 6 months, you hope, you know, through early February.
Well, even as a coach, you know, I mean, you know, my family, we were down on vacation, and my brother and his family, my sister and her family, my sister-in-law and her family, my mom and dad, we were all together. And it was like this, it was just the funnest time. I needed a vacation from vacation.
Right.
So tired. But yet, you're like, but in the back of your mind, and Ingrid always says, you know, the last week, the last few days, I start getting a little uptight. It's like, well, here we go, you know, and this is time to go back it's time to get back at it. You know, we got a lot to accomplish. And even like Allison, you know, she's going to be going back for a lacrosse season for a sophomore year. And, you know, she's working she's working as hard as she possibly can, man. But it's tough. It's challenging. And, you know, there's butterflies, you know, how are you going to do? Am I going to be good enough? Am I going to be ready? You know, every single person, player, coach, going back to school, Don, that's always still in the back of your mind, too, because the challenge is in front of you as well.
Coach John Harbaugh joining us here. You know, this whole last year and a half and sort of some sense of normalcy, getting my tickets, thinking about being in the seat, thinking where I'm going to be in Las Vegas, thinking about the Chiefs in week 2. I know you never think of week 2. You're only on week 1.
That's not true. We have a long term, too.
this team that you've put together here this year and the expectations and where we are with Lamar, it feels like everything gets raised another notch by what the last 3 years have represented.
We hope so. I mean, that's the idea. You know, I mean, I was a political science major and I studied the science of revolution. I remember it was one of my favorite classes, and it's called the rising expectations, theory of rising expectations. And the idea was that revolutions happen when things start getting better for a population, because their expectations rise faster than the government can provide, you know, food, clothing, a better life and all that stuff. The next thing you know, the government gets overturned, and for better or worse, it's like the same way in football. I mean, you start winning a few games, and next thing you know, fans are talking about the Super Bowl, or, you know, Super Bowl or bust, or if you don't do this or that, then you're not successful. And really, we have to take a different perspective, you know, back to your thing, you know, one game, one day at a time, you know, be the best you can be, become the best team we can be, take care of execution, and being just as good as we can be, because you have to go out there and you have to perform. You have to sink putts. You have to make plays, you know, so you can't really think in terms in the back of your mind, you're thinking about expectations or whatever, but really the challenge is what's right in front of you, getting the job done today, whatever that job is, and try to focus on that, you know?
Well, last year was crazy. And I think from a management perspective and all that you went through, COVID testing, playing football games on Wednesday afternoons, having to shut buildings down, all of those things that challenged you completely in a new way that you probably never even thought possible, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, just you know, one thing after another, you thought you had something under control and you thought we were doing things right. And you really just, there was no way to be perfect at the whole thing. And, you know, I mean, a lot of things are great. And everybody did the best they could. The league, the union, the players, the coaches, the staff, everybody did the best they could. And yet the best you can is not good enough. I mean, you see that in society, depending on what your expectations are. So, you know, if you think that you're going to totally think it's not going to be like this thing is not a part of our life anymore, you know, you can forget that. It's just do the best you can with it and try to keep people safe as best you can around you and all that kind of thing, but you still got to live. I mean, clock's ticking on all of our lives, and just like the clock was ticking on the season, and, you know, we have things to do in life. We've got games to play. You just got to go play them. You know, you just got to go, live your life and do it in a way where you don't put other people or yourself in too much jeopardy. But yeah, it was different. It was crazy. I want to get back to normal so bad. And even with the memo in the meeting last night, we find out that, you know, it's not going to be normal. I want it to be normal. I don't want to be dealing with this stuff anymore. I want to live our life fully, but we got to live our life fully still with some restrictions. And sometimes the rules are the rules. The rules that don't gain anything, but cost a lot. Those are the ones that really bother me. And I push back against those, but I also have to realize that that's just my opinion too. You know, sometimes, and other people see it differently.
Well, Coach, in the wake of that, and I have a number of leadership questions that we'll get back to, but in the wake of that and what you just said, there was some buzz yesterday that the commissioner indicated that perhaps the league would take a real hard stance this year on teams that had COVID issues and just say, hey, you can't belly up to the bar, you forfeit. Give me a sense. I'm sure you talked to other coaches. How much stress is that creating? How much pressure on organizations to make sure that their guys are vaccinated? And what's your reaction to the commissioner's statements?
Yeah, it's a great question, Don. I don't have a problem with it, because I think it's a step back toward normalcy. You know, that's what it would have been like, you know, pre-COVID. And with the vaccine, I think there's a reasonable chance that you're not going to have some crazy outbreak. I mean, the commissioner still has the ability, if there's some unforeseen type of an outbreak, to make whatever decision he needs to make based on common sense. But, you know, if you were to get 20 knee injuries or 25 knee injuries and you couldn't play the game, you know, then, you know, what would the contingency be? You might have to forfeit the game, but they've already got 16 practice squad players. There's a very low chance that we're going to get 20 guys out for COVID with the vaccine, with as many guys as are going to be vaccinated. So, you know, I don't disagree with it. I mean, I think everybody will be ready to play on time. Yeah, you may be down some players. We dealt with that in Pittsburgh. You have to live with that. It's part of the deal. And I'm not too worried about that part of it.
Have another wise conversation with head coach John Harbaugh here on WNST in Baltimore Positive. All are brought to you by our friends at Wise Markets. We're going to get back out to some gold watermelon, which I actually discovered at the Ravens Stadium. Luke, I know you got a million football questions. We're going to get on the field. Coach, Luke and I spent, you know, all May, all night talking offense, defense. Let's get on to the field here before we go, because there's plenty to talk about.
Yeah, and John, I mean, we'll get to the requisite question about the passing game that I feel like you're asked about in every single press conference at this point. But what do you really like about this team? I mean, we just talked about expectations a few minutes ago. I mean, you guys have won 25 games over the last 2 years. You've been to the divisional round the last 2 years, done just about everything you could do from a reasonable set of expectations in the regular season. What do you love about this team going in, knowing that there's still a lot of unknown ahead here in training camp in the preseason?
Exactly. Great. I mean, I love how determined they are. I mean, I love how competitive our guys are. We got guys who love to work, you know, and that's kind of what we're based on. The idea that if you come to Baltimore, you're going to work. You just know that. And players know that all around the league now. So players come in here and they know that's just how it is. And I think we get guys that want to work here and they're happy to be here. And they're like, I've always been a Raven at heart, you know, so that's where it begins. And then off of that, all those other questions kind of come off of that. So, you know, I'm looking forward to just building the best team we can. And all those questions they're good questions and they're fine. And I think it's something to talk about. Like, you know, two guys sitting at the end of the bar. That's what social media is nowadays. You know, we're all two guys sitting at the end of the bar, you know, giving our opinion on stuff. But, you know, we're going to have the very best passing game that we possibly can have, and the very best running game, and the very best defense, pass rush, coverage, whatever. But we have chosen a different path. You know, Robert Frost, you know, I chose the one less traveled by. We've done that in all three phases. You know, we've definitely chosen the schematic, a structural path, less traveled in all of our phases. And I like that. To me, that gives you an advantage. You're doing things differently than other people are doing. That makes you a handful. They're not used to seeing what they see from us. So our passing game will be part of this vision that we have for our offense that is different because of the quarterback that we play with, that we're building around. And I'm excited to see what it does. It'll be super productive. We scored more points in the last 2 years than anybody else. And our passing game needs to be explosive and efficient. And we've worked real super hard at building that in. Same thing with our defense. And we've expanded our defense in ways that as the average fan, you're not going to recognize it. You're not going to see it. If you study tape and you're a football kind of a guy, you'll probably begin to notice it. If you understand, you know, how we've been attacked on defense the last couple of years and how we've kind of framed this thing moving forward to stay ahead of people. So in special teams, we've always thought that way. So I love what we do schematically. I think we're cutting edge. And, you know, I'm looking forward to applying those ideas, you know, through the hard work of our players, go out there and compete. And, you know, I look forward to people trying to stop us and people trying to move the ball against us.
Well, Coach, that gets me to my grandson's passion right now. I'm a 14-year-old. He has said to me since the day you guys drafted Oway, "Pop, stop worrying about his sack numbers. This guy is a unique talent with explosive skills, and stop fixating, Pop, on the sack numbers. He's going to be a difference maker." Why is my grandson Jake right and I'm wrong?
I'm going to tell you what. Well, I mean, obviously he's a much more nuanced and broad thinker than you are, apparently. You know, you're fixated is a good word. Hey, you never know about anybody. I mean, you know, he's a very determined young man. He's a serious, hardworking guy, and he's really super gifted. Plus, I like to think we know what we're doing in terms of putting guys in position to do what they do well. We don't ask guys. Golf's different than football. In golf, if you want to be great, you got to have all the shots. In football, we pick the guy that takes the shots. We have guys play the shots that they're. It's more like a scramble, right? We're taking the shots that guys are good at. So we're going to put all our guys in position to do the things they do well. But this dude is big and fast and explosive and plays really hard. So I think we can find things for him to do and get him to the quarterback. And I don't know. I'm excited about all of our guys. So I think your 14-year-old grandson is a pretty wise young man.
He reminds me of that all the time. Hey, Coach, Coach, you're
– Well, he's 14. He knows everything, right?
You've been through that. Coach, you're a student of leadership. I mean, anybody that's heard you speak, I mean, you live and breathe this stuff. What are you continuing to learn? What are you reading lately that factors in to your thoughts on leadership? Because head coach, to me, it's so much more than X's and O's. You talk to a young up-and-coming head coach, and they come to you and say, all right, John, you've done this a long time. What are the one or two things that I really need to focus on? What do you tell them? What's the keys to leadership in the NFL and in life?
I wish there were just a couple buzzword things. I mean, so much of it to me is like, it's just basically relational and living and kind of being in every type of circumstances and being flexible and having a good spectrum of skills and things like that to deal with a lot of different things that come up, but to have principles that basically that you don't move from, that you believe in. You know, what do you stand for? You have to have that. You can't be blown every sort of direction with the wind from a decision-making standpoint, because then, you know, the old thing, if you stand for everything, you fall for anything, something like that. I forget the exact term, but there's a lot of truth to that. So we do try to remember this one thing. We try to. My dad always talks about confrontation. He says confrontation gets a bad rep. You know, we think confrontation is a bad thing. Confrontation is a great thing. You need to confront everything, confront things in your own life, and start with yourself. I just reading today, you know, Jesus talked about, We want to worry about the speck in everybody else's eye. We forget what's in our own eye, you know. Take care of our own heart first. As a leader, you've got to kind of control your own heart first and make sure you're coming from a good place. But, you know, in the end, we need to confront everything that has to do with what we're trying to accomplish here. Everything has to do with football. Everything. Weightlifting, body fat composition, you know, strength, flexibility, scheme, repetition, getting good at things, game planning. All those things need to be confronted every day. We need to be on the same page, aligned with each other. So we get out there in the heat of battle. There's really no question. We just play fast without thinking. We execute and we can adapt on the fly. All those things have to happen. And we can't do that by every time we deal with something, you know, it's like, take it personal, or I'm sensitive, or can't talk to me like that, or whatever. You know, all those kind of crazy, you know, selfish kind of like hypocritical type of thought process. It's like, so we say we confront everything, not anybody. You know, we're not in the business of confronting each other, you know, personally. We respect one another. We respect one another's opinions. We expect each other's talent. You know, we expect each other, the fact that they're a created creature of God, of infinite value. You got to watch yourself, what you say, how you say it, treat people with respect and confront everything that has to do with what we're trying to accomplish all the time. You know, and at the same time, love everybody, but not anything, you know. So we love each other. We're not in love with the Lombardi Trophy. We're not in love with the ring. We're not in love with anything. We're in love with one another. You know what I mean? To accomplish whatever we're called to accomplish.
Coach, with the analytics of football, we're all trying to figure out baseball. I know your wife's a Tiger fan. We're all watching baseball, trying to figure out the shift, and the commissioner's trying to figure it out in baseball. I know on the football side, the analytics are doesn't get talked about so much, like especially on the Sunday broadcast. But I know behind the scenes, everything's getting measured. There's data points everywhere. You're an old school guy, but you're in a new school world. Tell me that transition over the last like 10 years from what it was like to be coach 10 years ago and now with analytics and how you use those.
Right. Well, the analytics has always been a huge part of football. Like I go back to watching my dad. They used to have these cards when they broke down tape with these pins in them, and you basically punched the card. Then you'd use the pin and shake them out. And the ones that fell out, that was like your third medium. And you'd do the pins differently, and that was your third and short. That's how they basically broke it down. The computer does all that now. The biggest difference now, basically, because since Fielding Yost in 1905, he was an analytics guy. Everybody, every coach, every real coach really is an analytics guy. It's just the fact that you have access to so much more information now. And the more information, the more you have to gather the information, process the information, and then interpret the information. What does it really mean? So it's easy, I think, to pluck things out and go, well, you know, it's this percentage of catches on these type of routes. Therefore, what does that mean? Well, you can draw a lot of conclusions, and really there's spurious correlations there. It's like, that's really not the cause and effect here. That's really not what's going on. you have to understand it. It's very multi-layered. It's like, yeah, it's like an onion. There's so many layers to this whole thing and so many interactions going on there. You know, how does it really come together? So you take all the information as best you can, and it becomes like one file and a long file of things. Oh, let's pull it out. It's part of it, but I'm not making, I got all these other things that are realities as well. I've got to just, your brain is much more capable than the computer. The computer can process the information and organize it better than your brain could, but your brain can make sense of it way better than the computer can. So the ability to kind of like synthesize all that into with your experience and your expertise to make ultimately a decision is really what it comes down to in the heat of battle. And that's what we try to do. We try to look at the information and say, well, what is it really telling us here? And how much does it really fit and matter? And really, at the end of the day, you know, how are we going to try to win this game and put our best foot forward?
Luke, John, go ahead. I know you got final football questions.
Yeah, you've talked a lot about efficiency, and that's why I detest when I hear people say you had the 32nd ranked passing game, because you're talking in terms of volume. This isn't designed to be a high volume passing game. But that said, in trying to improve efficiency, which did fall off a little bit last year from the year before when you were very efficient, how challenging is it to work on that, to have that part grow? You know, you hear people say, you know, playing from behind, or, you know, more throws to the outside, you know, and you've heard this, you've been asked about this, but at the same time, you have this offense, this run game, this identity that has worked so incredibly well against most of the league and has overwhelmed a large portion of your opponents. How do you kind of balance that idea of wanting to continue and evolve and grow where, I mean, the results speak for itself, how successful you've been over the last 2 years doing what you do, I don't know, 85, 90% of the time.
Well, it comes back to kind of what Don was talking about. You can't get blown every which way like a reed in the wind because of public opinion or some particular specific stat that people give more credence to than really matters. You know, our passing game wasn't good enough last year. We weren't good enough at it. And I can look at the tape and I can see that. You know, I understand all the nuances, what we didn't do well, whether we didn't protect, where the breakdowns were. And that's a cumulative thing of just being more efficient, being better at what we do. And then tying that in to the big picture, you know, we should be a big play pass offense because we create opportunities for big plays in the passing game because we make people overcommit to our run game a lot of times. But we can also hit a lot of big runs because people sometimes have to defend our big play passing attack and they got to keep people back out of there sometimes, or we'll block really well downfield. So, you know, I don't know. It's just not to get too caught up in any one thing or to worry too much about what people say and just try to focus on the business at hand, which is just becoming the as good as what we decide, doing the things that you think you can do best with your players and then doing them as well as you possibly can with repetition and teaching, shared understanding, being on the same page, all those things that are fundamentally true of just getting good at being a football team.
Stay cool out there. Stay hydrated out there. At some point, you and I'll get a crab cake together, you know, and I'm going to be learning about crab cakes, you know, during this next month. And the state of Maryland, Coach, I'm going to the mountains. I'm going to the ocean. I'm doing all these things in the state of Maryland I've never done. I'll come back with some tales for you. We'll be ready for some football here in a couple weeks. Really appreciate you taking a little time with Don and Luke and I and spending a little July time with us here before you get out on the field.
Can't wait to hear some stories, my friend.
I am not cutting my hair. So.
Oh, geez. Holy mackerel.
Tell your dad. Coach, I'm not cutting my hair.
Hope to see you at camp, Coach.
We'll see you guys. Thanks
a lot. Head Coach John Harbaugh joining us here. You can follow Baltimore Luke is the way to follow Luke and Luke Jones. And, of course, Luke at WNST.net. He will be out in Owings Mills with his COVID test. I tested negative yesterday myself. Don Moeller, of course, former Baltimore County executive, joining us here. All of our wise conversations taken on the road to you in August. It's the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. I'm Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking Baltimore positive.